It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed on the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
I'd be rich.
And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Larry. How are we doing today?
We're doing wonderful.
I'm living the dream.
Absolutely. So,
okay,
what
well,
is
that's it.
Our
Goodbye,
topic?
Folks. Yeah.
That's all, folks. What are they saying?
That's all, folks.
Mm-hmm. It's been a good week.
Again, goodbye, folks. We're not working well today.
I guess
Larry.
We don't want to talk about this topic. The new DOL fiduciary rule.
I think I'm just tired of reading and talking about this topic is what it comes down to. But we have to because this is our business and we need to keep you, the average investor, informed.
Well, there's so much. It's almost impossible to read all of the articles from all of the sources.
I have.
Have you? Well, John, you're a good man. I knew you could do it.
Sleep is overrated.
Sleep is overrated. But I bet there are 8 or 10 or 12 that we both receive every day from various news sources.
27.
You counted them.
I don't know. I'm just making
in the
stuff
industry,
up, folks. I'm in one of those moods.
He is in one of those moods. Rare, but not unusual. Too much out there. So we're going to do our best to talk about what may happen next April 10th of 2017 based on the law, the regulation that was passed April of 2016.
Darth Vader walking down the hallway.
Depending, yeah, I see him. There he is. Yeah. Depending on what the new Department of Labor secretary does or does not do between now and then, because it will eventually have a major impact on investing in the world today.
Absolutely. So what we're going to focus on this show is, and we've touched on this several times before, we actually had a show completely dedicated to the topic of the difference between a broker and a registered investment advisor. But what we want to do this time is put a twist on that and help you understand that if you're working with an advisor, such as a broker or a registered investment advisor, what can you expect between now and April 10th, 2017? What should you expect? What questions should you be asking? Helping you understand that there are some big changes coming and what has transpired. So effectively, the Department of Labor in April of 2016 came out with what we call the new fiduciary rule, which really didn't affect the registered investment advisor practice. They have always been held to the best interest, what is in the client's best interest. Now, you may be scratching your head and saying, well, why would I work with anyone that isn't doing something in my best interest? And I would reply, that's a great question, because your broker-dealer was held to what's called suitable. So it's a little bit more relaxed of a term. It's really not semantics, but I've always kind of tongue-in-cheek said, well, suitable is what can I defend in a court of law? Now, I'm sure I might get some phone calls from broker-dealer saying that's not fair, but in a sense, it's true. What can I defend in a court of law that would be considered suitable? So, for example, if you go in, you sit down, and they come up with two solutions. One pays the broker-dealer X. The other option pays the broker-dealer X plus some amount, a larger amount. That's a conflict of interest. That's a very difficult position for that advisor to be in, because they can look at both solutions and say they're suitable, but what's really in your best interest? And the registered advisor world has always been held to the best interest. And if you don't do that, you could be out of a job very quickly. So why is this such a big deal? Right now, the fiduciary rule will only affect qualified retirement accounts and IRAs. It will, if you just have a, you know, a brokerage relationship with after-tax money, it will not affect that. But why is this a big deal? And I didn't realize there was this much money, but as of the second quarter 2016, there was over $7.5 trillion in IRA money.
That's a big number, John.
That's a big, big number.
When you consider there's only 360 million people in the U.S., and that's a big number.
That's, you know, maybe a third of the national debt.
Exactly.
It's a big number. So, and that came from the Investment Company Institute. So the Department of Labor came out with this rule. The Securities and Exchange Commission was unable to ever come up with some sort of enforceable best interest standard. So the Department of Labor took care of it. And what does this mean for you? Well, if you have a broker as your advisor and they have an IRA with them, there's going to be some changes coming. You're going to receive a lot more paperwork. And depending, and you know, it's sad to say, but depending on the size of the account and so forth, you may be in a situation where you have to make a decision. And
what decision is that?
Well, do I stay with this advisor, or is this advisor going to stay with me? How are we going to move ahead down the road?
Well, every advisor, and we use that term loosely, our industry has some terms such as that, whether it's advisor or advisor, that reflects on who they are and how they operate. So the better understanding you have, the better it will be. But the onus of the rule is first on the company that the advisor works for. If it is a broker-dealer, then that broker-dealer has to decide how and what steps they're going to take to comply with the rule. And there are some broker-dealers who have already said that they will no longer, after April 10th of 2017, allow their reps to deal with any commission-based products.
Think about this. Merrill Lynch.
Big player.
Pretty big company.
Big player.
I mean, almost as big as us.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to brag.
When did you check that last? Okay.
Merrill Lynch, a very big investment company. They are not going to allow commission-based products in their IRA accounts.
And that's
forward.
Huge. Huge in our industry, because that's what you probably, if you are working with a broker, what you are invested in is a commission-based product. So what does this mean now? If you're in a commission-based product and they did what indeed was in your best interest, not theirs, then if it's a long-term investment, you're in A-shares. And if you remember from prior shows, A-shares, you paid an upfront commission anywhere from zero if you had over $1 million to 5.75% if you had under $25,000 to invest to begin with. And you are now paying a much lower asset charge, which includes a 0.25 or 0.25% service fee that is paid to the broker. And going forward, they're not going to allow commission-based products. Then there's a choice. What do you do? You know, do you not add to that account with them? Do you take that account on the road to a robo-advisor? Or do they move you to a fee-based type of account where you're now paying maybe 50 basis points, which is twice what you were paying before, which I don't see how that's in your best interest. So each broker-dealer is going to have to decide how to address that with the paperwork, the what we call the best interest contract exemption, or BICE or BIC contract, which is under the Department of Labor rule. And you are going to have to be notified beginning April 10th that they are now serving in a fiduciary capacity, that they have to act first, foremost, and only in your best interest, which is what we have always done regardless. And that you're going to have to make some choices, you know, to pay possibly a higher fee on your investments or take it on the road. I guess that's the best way we can say it, John.
And, the way I look at it, and I agree here how Merrill Lynch is handling it, there's really going to be three types of relationships now. You're going to be able to work with an advisor on a fee basis, Lyra is mentioning, and depending on what that asset fee is, will help you determine whether you're going to go that route or not. You can also go the route of a self-directed brokerage account using a commission-based product, or you're going to be working with a robot, a robo-advisor.
Is Hal out there?
I am not a fan of the robo-advisor relationship. I guess, you know, some of the younger technology people will think this is, you know, all that they need. But, you know, would you go to a robo-advisor for a doctor?
I mean, some are going to.
I mean, for me, I want a conversation. You know, when I sit down with a client and we go through a risk tolerance questionnaire, I would say more than half the time they did not answer the questionnaire to who they truly are. We are terrible self-evaluators. I'm just not going to be a fan of a robo-advisor solution. And that's not, I mean, partly because this is what I do for a living, but I really just don't think that's a good way to help people invest their money, their life savings.
And it's the same thing with so many of the developments today. You know, there are, as you well know, there are banks that are only online. They have no brick-and-mortar facilities, that if you're going to deal with them, you're going to do it via the internet, via mobile device. And that's just not how I want to do business. I want to see the person across the table. Whether you're buying insurance, there are a lot of national programs that try and sell you everything from life insurance, disability insurance, all the way to auto home insurance, and they want to do it online. And the question always is, you may think you're answering the questions truthfully, accurately, and completely until something happens, and then you have a loss, and all of a sudden you find out that, oh, I didn't check that box. I didn't know I didn't have that coverage. You have no recourse. So with an advisor across the table from you who's able to ask the questions that they have learned are effective in determining what your specific outcomes are and how to achieve those at the most competitive rate, but still providing the coverage that you need is, I think, going to be the key.
A good example, as you were talking about that, just popped in my head. Up until a few years ago, I did our taxes on TurboTax. Now, it prompts you and asks you all the necessary questions, but it does not provide, you know, a comparison. If you did this, this is what happened. How about this? Or consider this. And now with working with an accountant to do our taxes, it's a very different relationship. And I like being presented with, did you consider this? Did you consider that? How about this or that? Or no, we have to do it. It's just a much more comprehensive relationship. And with retirement money and you know, people's lives, a robot just doesn't really.
Well, you really, you know, taxes are filed year to year. You have 3 years to go back and amend them. What we do is a lifelong decision. If you don't make the right decisions in your 20s and 30s, the likelihood of being able to make up for that later down the road is pretty much slim and none are your choices, because you lose the multiplication, the eighth wonder of the world, as we talked about in a prior show, the doubling of your money because of compounding of your earnings and interest. So we're very adamant that you need the advisor. I want to talk a little bit more about the different types of advisors, because it's confusing to people. We originally, both John and I are licensed through a broker-dealer, Nickel Investors Corporation here in Granite City, Illinois, excellent firm. And we, in order to achieve that registration as a registered agent, if you will, we set out and passed a series of complex examinations. Series 7, which allows you to deal with general securities, including stocks, bonds, mutual funds, etc. We had to do the state of Illinois Blue Sky Law, Series 6 and 63, for variable annuities and other types of investments. So we had formal training relating to that. The investment RIA, we also affiliated with Nickel Advisors Corporation, which is a registered investment advisory firm, or RIA. And we are considered IARs, which is an investment advisor representative.
And we help people with their IRAs.
And we help people with their IRAs. So we are an IAR.
We're
with
one step away from the military with all these acronyms.
Yeah, we are an IAR with the IRA, so we can help you. Yeah, well, you know, you get it. But anyway,
bump.
But in order to become an RIA, you don't go through all of the securities testing that we've gone through on the broker-dealer side. You simply pass a not a minimal test, certainly. It's 600 pages last time I looked, but a Series 65 in the state of Illinois is required to be an IAR with an RIA. And in my humble opinion, having done all of the above, those who only get a 65 and haven't experienced learning about all of the different types of securities and how they work and whatnot may or may not be as well-trained or qualified to do the type of work that we do. So it's up to you to ask, you know, what is the background? What are the credentials of the individual you're working with? What type of investment philosophy do they have? It's your money. It's your future. It's your goals. It's your outcome that you're really talking about. So you need to get to know the person. You need to, and I will say this, you do need to like them. You know, it's someone you're going to have to work with. They're going to have to work with you. You have to have a good relationship. You have to understand common goals and objectives and have a common mission of reaching a specific point in the future that you will successfully have satisfied any dreams, goals that you may have. So if they're a broker-dealer, that's fine. How are they going to address the new fiduciary rule in terms of dealing with flat fee or level fee compensation, which is a requirement if they're dealing with retirement accounts of any type, 401ks and whatnot. It's also going to require a lot more work on our part when someone comes to us and says, I have a retirement account. It might be a 403B with a school district. It could be a 401K. It could be a 457 with a municipality. I have a lump sum, a $10,000, $100,000, $1 million, whatever it happens to be. I would like to, and part of the question is, should I? But I would like to roll it over to an individual account under my management where I can make all the choices of what funds are available and how I want it allocated and so forth. The burden is going to be upon us as the advisor to determine, is it in their best interest to move it?
And to give you a lot more paperwork to sign so we can document it.
And give you a lot more paperwork to sign and authorize the move. Because if I have someone coming out of a plan, like let's pick on Boeing, for example. I have a lot of clients at Boeing, Space, Aerospace. Emerson's another one. But if you have a plan that has hundreds of millions of dollars in it and they are in the appropriate low-cost institutional shares, maybe they're paying, you know, 15 basis points or 20 basis points for their investments and not a lot of additional charges that are being imposed through the plan's operation, then there's really only one solution we have that would come even close to that, and that would be even if we didn't get paid. So we have to be able to justify, you know, John doesn't want to get paid.
Just charity.
He just does it for the fun of it.
501c.
Yeah, exactly. I wish. So we're going to have to document what charges you would have continued to pay and what restrictions would have been there if it was left where it is. And we see a lot more money is going to stay in qualified plans for a lot longer. The downside to the employer is the employer now has to pay for the administration of that individual's account. So the employers are not necessarily in favor of that. Some of the bigger ones may not mind, but they don't really want you to leave the money there because if it is there in perpetuity, then what do they do with it? Because they only have choices of trying to find you through the different search capabilities that are out there. And another one that's really interesting, John, is I've found the states, imagine that, state of Illinois in particular, becoming more aggressive in forcing investment companies and qualified plans to find the participant, first goal, and if they can't find the participant within a certain amount of time, to then do something called escheating and escheat the money to the state, which goes into the general fund. So
No way. The
investment company writes a check and sends Donnie's money to the state saying they can't find him. And you think it's ever going to be found by the state?
Do you think the state is just trying to collect assets?
I didn't say that, did I?
I did.
Maybe I did. Yeah, probably. But they are pushing companies who have lost track of employees, who have moved, got married, changed their name, whatever, and they don't know they have that account, now to send the money to the state. And they're dumping it in the general fund and spending it. And if you ever come back to find it, you know, good luck.
Not just spending that. They're spending that plus a whole bunch more that they can't afford to be spending.
But yeah, exactly.
Different day.
We won't go there.
So really, in a nutshell, for you, for us, the individual investment person, the decision in some cases will be out of our control because it'll be up to the broker dealer, the actual company, to determine what they're going to do. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of them are just going to stop doing IRA type work, the smaller ones, because from a paperwork standpoint, from a time constraint, it's just too much work.
And from a liability standpoint.
True. So for us, or for you who are investing and working with someone, you may end up losing your advisor. So don't be afraid to go around and do some shopping to see who's going to continue working, or you may have to change your relationship and go from a broker dealer where you're in mutual funds to an investment type of account where you're paying an ongoing fee. That part is pretty ridiculous because you already paid a fee up front. Now you're going to pay an increased advisor fee, but that might be your only option, or you're going to have to go it on your own or work with a robo-advisor. But no matter who you're working with, you're going to be getting a lot of paperwork between now and April 10th. And you're going to continue receiving a lot of paperwork as the relationship goes on and into the future.
And a lot more data gathering. One of the outcomes of the fiduciary rule is we no longer will be allowed under the rule to deal strictly with a single component of your investment program. If you come in and say, let's move this IRA, let's talk about this 403B and appropriately investment for my future goals of retirement, we're going to say, well, hang on a minute. We need to find out a little bit more. You know, let us find, fill out the fact sheet, do a detailed fact finder of what is your current age? What is your current financial situation? What kind of debt do you have? When do you think you would like to plan on retiring? What resources do you currently have? How much money are you putting away in various accounts? How much money are you willing to put away? What about your life insurance? Do you have disability coverage, long-term care? Do you have any, believe it or not, do you have any familial illnesses in the family, any genetic issues that would cause you to believe that you're going to have issues with heart trouble or diabetes or stroke or cancer or whatever it might be? Because they now have brought in longevity as a concern point for doing a financial plan. Someone who, by whatever means, is determined to have a lesser longevity than the average, we have to now account for in the plan. If not, we can be found negligent in terms of making recommendations.
And we all have the free time to fill out all these questionnaires, provide all this information, make all the copies. I mean, it's what we like to do.
Yeah, exactly. Keeps right. The copier people in business, you know, them and unfortunately the lawyers down the road, because the way the fiduciary rule is going to be determined to meet or satisfy the requirements of the investing community is going to now be in the courts. So the attorneys are looking at it and going, you know, if you lost money in your 401k or IRA and you didn't think you were invested in such a way that you should have, come see us and we'll see what we can do about it. So it sounds like the asbestos or some of the other litigations that are going out there all over again.
Absolutely. So what are we drinking today, Mr. Larry?
What are we drinking today, John?
We are drinking the Golden Pecan.
Ah, back to Golden Pecan. I like that.
It's one of my favorite flavored coffees. As we all know, I am more of a straight-up Joe, but I do like the Golden Pecan. It still has a manly, even though it's pecan, has a manly, robust flavor. I like it.
Well, it does have chunks of buttery southern pecans that are mixed right into this popularly flavored coffee. It's lusciously rich, and it is delicious, the Golden Pecan coffee from where else? The Chef Shop, the only place to go in town. Your hometown kitchen accessory store located in the Schnucks Plaza next to Target. They're at 2320 Troy Road. They are decked out for the holidays. I was in there the other day, and it is beautiful. If you're not in the holiday spirit, I'd suggest getting over there and just walking around, give yourself a little time.
I'm still a traditionalist. It shouldn't be Christmas until after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just becoming a bypassed holiday.
But now we're after Thanksgiving, John.
Oh, that's right. We are, even though we're recording the show prior. I still don't think Just want to make my point clear. I still don't think we should be decorating. I mean, we even have a radio station now playing Christmas music. It's not even December yet.
That I have a problem with. I know most of the oldies and some of the other stations in St. Louis. It was, I believe, last.
You're familiar with those stations, right?
Yeah. Well, it's old home week, you know. The Friday before, two Fridays before Thanksgiving, they started playing Christmas music, and I dearly love Christmas music. And actually, in my choir at church, we've been practicing Christmas music for at least a month, trying to get ready for the Christmas concerts that are coming up. And I enjoy that, but I agree with you.
I was in Home Depot. They were putting stuff up before Halloween.
Day after Thanksgiving is when it all begins, but obviously we're in a minority, John.
We're old. You are older.
You said that. I did not. So, Chef Shop, go visit them. Lots of things coming up. We are going to try and set up a date in the near future to be over there visiting with you. Go in. Tell them you heard us on the radio. Just tell someone at the counter, or Nancy or Scott, if they're around. We have some surprises for you, and they're worthwhile. You know, it's not a piece of candy. It's something substantial to help you remember us by.
But if you want a piece of candy, they have a wall of candy there.
Well, they do have a wall of candy, and they have free fudge sampling. So that's a reason in and of itself to go in there.
And you can get a free cup of coffee.
You can't get a free cup of coffee.
And a free piece of fudge.
And a free coffee cup.
And if you say that you meant you heard us, you can get a free gift. So
yeah, it sounds like a trip to me.
Why not?
Well, let's go after the show, John.
No, we don't qualify.
Oh, come on. All right. Chef Shop in Edwardsville. So the discussion on RIAs
and brokers.
IARs and brokers is a topic that you need to get much more familiar with. If we did not do a sufficient job of explaining it, give us a call. We'd be happy to sit down and walk through the paces with you in determining what type of advisor you really should be working with, depending on your particular need. And especially if you own a company and you're looking at your retirement plan, if you've been with a broker, you're going to have to make some decisions, because that broker now either has to become an admitted fiduciary and give you a piece of paper by April 10th telling you that they are serving in a fiduciary capacity on your plan, or they will not be able to service it anymore. They're going to have to turn it over to someone else, either within their firm or somewhere else. So we work with a lot of 401k, a lot of profit-sharing plans. We do serve in a fiduciary capacity in meeting the needs of our clients, and we're very familiar with how that works and what's required. So that's another change you may see down the road regarding the way that they interface with you and the participants within the plan. So if you have questions in any of those areas, contact John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com, Larry at llexo@nickelfinancial.com. Thanks to Scott and Nancy at the Chef Shop for continuing to sponsor us. We keep talking about them. We keep going in and hopefully you're going in, too, and telling them that you heard us on the show. Thanks to WSIE for allowing us the opportunity to give you a little education, as well as talk about some of the wonderful coffees that are available from the Chef Shop. And I guess we're getting closer to the final holiday, big holiday, John, coming up.
It's coming up, and we'll have some new coffees that we haven't sampled yet, just because they are holiday Christmas based. So we will be looking at the Christmas cookie as well as the holiday magic in the month of December.
I'm looking forward to both of those, John.
I'm sure you are. The frou-frou, I'm not, because I'm afraid there's going to be some hazelnut in there. But
I don't know.
We'll get past it.
The Christmas cookie is cinnamon, nuts, vanilla with just the right amount of cream. So no hazelnut.
All right.
So that's a go.
That may work.
That's a go. Holiday magic, Central South American coffees. Bright and complex in the cup.
Oh, sounds like me.
So we okay. So I almost choked on that one.
Thank you, sir.
So we will try a little holiday magic Christmas cookie coming up. You have questions, please get them to us at our email addresses, given again after you hear the end of the show, as well as our website, it's just financialcafe.us, which will be up and running hopefully by the time this show airs. Mm-hmm. And if you've missed prior shows, they will all be out there, so you can go back and review. This is a good time to go back to our first show done last July, believe it or not, How to Select a Financial Advisor. good primer on what you're going to have to be dealing with.
We could become like Netflix. You can go out and binge podcast our shows like we do with Netflix
shows. You can. I might do that, John, just to listen to them.
Absolutely. Well, for the next show, we will hopefully have a guest with us.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by the Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at lexo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to The Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.